hear these words to the church both then and now. In Christ, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering each of you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and the incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our heart, and the actions of our lives be in sync with your holy will for us. May we reach out to you today. May we cry out for your presence in a new and powerful way. May we hear a word from you, O God, in the midst of all that we experience today in worship. And may it be for your praise. May it lift your name gloriously. In Christ we pray. Amen. As I was sharing with the little ones, there's usually two kinds of saints we're thinking about, the ones with the big S's and the ones with the little S's. The ones with the big S's, you know, St. Anselm, St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa, they go on and on and on. We have understanding that these people suffered greatly. A life of holiness, standing up, speaking truth to power, sharing in so many ways the powerful witness of their faith against whoever. And somehow we don't feel like we're in that category, because lately, I don't know about you, but I didn't face any lions this past week. There have been times when it was a little more challenging than others, but no one was being dragged off in chains into a dark cell of a pit and then tossed in with some wild animals just for a good challenge. Somehow we hold that level of sainthood to a whole different standard. And so we say, wow, that it can't be us. And yet Christ calls us as his beloved children, his body here assembled. He calls us saints. So some of us will think, well, maybe if I'm not going to be a big S saint, maybe I could just be a little S saint, you know? And then if you're like me, you're probably questioning, well, I'm not sure if I qualify there either. It's hard to believe a saint would be the one who would be enticed into gesturing at someone who cuts you off in traffic. It's hard to believe that a little less saint might be a person who got up out of his or her chair after this incredibly bad call in the fourth quarter at the last football game. It's hard to believe that saints would behave like that, because we're called to a life of holiness. We're singing, you know. God, finish your work in us. Complete us. There's so far to go. In our best moments, we realize all our righteousness is but trash before the King. How can he consider us saints? How is it that he would look upon us and even have a hope? I remember being in grade school. Maybe you do too. I'm thinking, I wonder what those teachers thought, those young hoodlums sitting in our desk. We still had the desks that had to flip up tops. That was back just after they invented chalkboards. And we often would get in trouble by putting the person's in front of us hair in the desk and catching it in the, either an inkwell or in the hinge, the table. There were all kinds of ways to misbehave in small ways. I wonder what they looked out. Some of you as teachers probably, maybe you know what you're thinking, wow, that kid's got a long way to go. If we can just get him through fourth grade, it'll be great. And then next year it'll be someone else's problem. Or Lord help me, I got 6 more weeks before I can move this child along to the next program. It's tough when we look at all the failings and all the opportunities. It seems that each generation comes up with a whole new category of ways in which they can step away from that narrow path that Jesus calls us to. A path, as I shared, calls us to forgive. Seems that somehow most of our life outside the church has gotten us to such a point that our skin is so thin that we can't accept anything. That whatever it is a personal affront, and I'm going to make somebody well aware of how much they've hurt me. That's not what Jesus teaches. It's so easy to be caught up in this political climate of the day and start taking sides rather than saying, there is only one authority in our life. As best as we're called, we're supposed to get along with folks, but there's only one king. There's only one to whom we bow our knee. And it's that one glorious king who loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus. Knowing that as saints in training, we'd have problems. We'd have days that we just didn't behave very saintly. But then I think back. There were days when Peter was not really such a good saint. There were days when he struck back and he had a sword in his hand. And Jesus told him, no, that's not the way, Peter. There were days when he said, I'll follow you anywhere, and then denied him right away. That's not the way either. It seems like Peter, who was often called Saint Peter, spent more of his time with his shoe in his mouth or his sandal in his mouth than he did doing good things. Until far enough along the journey, I think he began to just walk at ease with the call upon his life. Jesus forgave him as many times as he had transgressed against him, showing that forgiveness is a part of our walk in sainthood. Not big S, but little S. We're called to be totally different. We're called to be really, we have to walk. You don't think about this now, but when you walk, you have to shift your center of gravity. Because if you walk without shifting your center of gravity, your feet take off and you end up on the floor. You have to lean. You don't think about it anymore because it's been so long since we've been that size or smaller. I love to watch the little ones. I can't tell you where we were yesterday, but there was a little one. It was an intersection between like carpet and tile. And she was not at all sure that tile was going to hold her. And she couldn't have been that high. And you had that little tentative. It's like, and I don't really know if I want to step in there. And if I step in there, will it hold me? And then she'd look around. And then she'd do it again. It's like those tentative first steps. We've forgotten how challenging it was. And I don't know what's processing through her mind, but it was just wonderful to see her. And then her mother finally grabbed a hold of her hand and said, come on, we're coming. But she was hesitant. I know what this is. This is nice out here, but I don't quite know what that is. Sainthood calls us forward like that. We have to shift our center. We have to move in anticipation that the one who calls us is already there. I often use that example out of Raiders of the Lost Ark. When he comes, he's searching for the Grail, and he's on the side of this mountainous terrain, and he has to get to the other side, and there's no bridge. At least we can't see a bridge. But the plot unfolds. It said if you have to believe it's going to be there for it to be there. And so he has to step out, shift his energy, and actually step where there is nothing. And in stepping, the bridge appears. Only for that step. Not the whole bridge, just for that step. That's how we're called to walk in Christ. Step by step. Oh, because if we could see the whole path, it wouldn't really be faith, would it? We'd say, oh, I know where I'm going. I'll take my own path. And most of us, if you'd be like me, I'll meander a little this way and that way because I know where I'm going to end up. It's going to be okay. Jesus calls us step by step, each step in faith, each step not completely seeable, because that's the whole point. Do you trust me? Sainthood, kind of an uncomfortable. I mean, can you turn to your partner and say, "I'm practicing to be a saint." Try it. See how fun it says. Turn to your partner and say, "I'm practicing to be a saint." Yeah, you see? And what did they? You got a lot of eyeballs rolling. I saw it. You have been blessed by a special hope, because in a very real way, we are different than the world around us. The world will come and go with fads, with gimmicks, with things. They'll follow after this person for a while, and then when they find out that that person promised more than he or she could deliver, then they'll find somebody else and follow after that person. It's the same way with sin in our life. It always promises more than it can deliver. The only one you can trust, and trust completely every single day, is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the way to life abundant, so that even if we have to pass through difficult times, it's going to be okay. He's with us. He's provided us a way. Paul is writing to this church, encouraging those saints. He says, "I give thanks to you every time it comes to my mind. I remember what you've done. I remember how you're working and you're serving. I remember how you're forgiving. I remember how you're loving in Jesus' name, even though the world around you doesn't." In fact, I think that's the definition of love. It's easy to love someone who loves you back. It's a whole other level of loving, to love and forgive others who are intent on causing you aggravation, trying to find how thin can your patience get. I think I've shared it one other time. There used to be a youth named Jay Rumsey. This is 40-some years ago, who was outside the youth program we were running at the time. And all the other youth in the neighborhood was inside the gym taking part in our after-school program. There was mentoring, there was basketball, volleyball, all kinds of sports. We had a full gymnasium. But Jay wouldn't come inside. He said, "No, it's a stupid church. I'm not going in there. There's nothing going on in there I want to do." But he'd stay out there for hours just outside the door waiting for the rest of his... Everybody else was in the church. The whole community was empty. "Nope, not going to do it." And I'd say, "Jay, why don't you just come in?" "Nope, don't want to." I said, "I tell you what, why don't you just step inside the door? You can stay inside the door and at least be out of the cold weather." "Nope, I'm perfectly fine." Well, it got into the fall of the year and it was starting to get a little colder outside. And after weeks, I finally got him. He was willing to step inside that we could sit on his little chair. And he'd hear everybody just the floor up. You can hear all the screaming and hooting and hollering, everybody having a good time. "Nope, don't want to go there. I'm just waiting so he come out and we can go out and have some real fun." I can't tell you how many months it took. It took a long time. Because Jay was convinced there wasn't anything good happening in the church. However he got that in his mind, he believed that with his whole heart. It was a blessing because there wasn't anything else for him to be doing in the afternoon. All his friends were upstairs enjoying themselves. And they all come out and say, "Hey, Jay, you should have come on up." Finally, we got him, you know, step by step. Then he was at the bottom of the steps, at the top of the steps, inside the door. Ultimately, you know, he ends up being the president of the youth group. He had all the qualifications for leadership, except it was a little hard on the stubborn rather than on the persevering. And he was guaranteed he was not going to let go of that power to say, "I'm in charge." And that's part of what holds us back from becoming saints. We need to let go and realize, I can't control this. There are things that are going on in my life that I have no control over. Other people have set things in motion and I have to get through it. Just like some of those water overrun roads this past weekend. Things happen. How are we supposed to get through it? How can I continue living on a saint when everything around me looks like it's going in the wrong direction? For me particularly, sometimes it's hard because I like to clarify where other individuals went wrong. I figured, you know, part of my gift is if I can just explain to them in an engineering-like fashion, number one, number two, number three, your life would be a whole lot better. But then I realized that's not godly either. That's not my job. We're meant to be encouragers. We're meant to be coming alongside and say, we can do this because God is with us. It's all right to feel frustrated. It's all right to feel sad. But give it to the one who was sent to receive it. Don't carry that thing around with you all day long so your heart's all knotted up, going, waiting for one little thing to happen, one little errant word, one little twist of a shopping cart or going the wrong way in the driveway. One little thing, and next thing is, wow. We have an inheritance that is a blessing upon blessing. Jesus paid the price for all of that. And as we sit and remember today, the saints that have come before us, you got to know, they had some hard times. We look back and say, oh yeah, those were the days. Trust me, none of the people living in those days thought those days were the good days. They thought the same thing we thought today. Today's not a good day, but we know it is. Sometimes we have to wait and look back. Most of us here would say, oh, remember back 20 years ago? I can't tell you the first time I came and started interviewing with SPR, saying, well, you know, a few years back we had like 200 kids in Sunday school. You should have been here then, you know? And I have to tell you, every single church I've ever been and served has told me the same thing. If you'd just been here 30 or 40 or 50, or whatever the number is, years ago, it was different. It was better then. They had different problems, and it always looks better in the rearview mirror. You look back upon it, and all the things you had to deal with suddenly diminish. We're called to be saints for such a time like this. We have the resources. We have the people. We have the opportunity to stand firm just as those early saints did. Because trust me, Peter hadn't a clue most of the time. Jesus kept telling him, this is the way, and Peter said, nah, I don't think so. Thomas says, I'm not really sure. You got to prove it to me. Each of them had a problem, just like you and me. But we're still called, and we have the inheritance of those who have been before us, whose names we're going to celebrate in just a few minutes. People we look upon and say, wow, remember when she or he was here? What a wonderful message they had. The way they lived their life, the way they stood up under the adversity. Our inheritance is that one day people would look back and say that about us. And most of us are going, yeah, it ain't going to happen. I'm not that good. Well, God's not done with you yet either. We serve a big God, a God who's capable of turning around the worst in the world and bringing him to faith. Remember who Paul was. Remember what he was doing before the Lord embraced his heart. Think what he can do with us. Wherever we are in our journey, we're called to be saints for today. So for the rest of the day, your task is, right, this is the hard part. You got to live as a saint now. You've been blessed to be one. Now live into it. I'm a child of God, a person of worth. I'm a saint in training. I'm not there yet. I'm not suggesting that you're going to be perfect when you walk out. But for the rest of the day, try to live holy. I don't mean you have to go home and burn a candle. I don't mean you have to go run home quickly and put a cross around your neck or go get an Exodus fish and put it on your car. That'd be a pretty bold move. But try to think in all your speech and all your action and all the things you're going to do for the rest of the day. We'll just limit it to today. We'll start with today. Little step. That it'll always be loving and kind. That you think of the person with whom you're talking, with whom you're listening, as a child of God. A person who Jesus bled for at the cross. Someone of inestimable value. And find a way to serve them. And try not to say, how may I serve you today? But to listen and anticipate and engage the Spirit. Come and help me show this person God's love for them. I think that's a big challenge. And if you're willing to try it, I'm willing to try it. And we'll come back and compare notes next week, okay? Put them on double-spaced, typed. No. That's a challenge for us. As the saints in training, who one day will look back and say, can't believe we got through that week. That was a terrible week. You know, you look at all the storms on TV last night, all the people, we went without power. Thanks be to God. We're never without power, right? We have the Holy Spirit power. You can take the electricity, but we're still fired up for Jesus. Now, I admit, after about the sixth hour of bailing water with no electricity, but we're still empowered by the Holy Spirit. His mark upon us of the life abundant now and eternally. Let us pray. Lord, There's so many ways in which we seem to step away from our inheritance as your people, as your children, called for such a purpose. We find that there's so many excuses we can come up with. Help us, Lord, to let those excuses go. Help us to meet you as you call us and to come forward in faith, serving you as saints in training, both this day and all the days you give us in the future. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.